Betsy Ann Thomas here for the American Intelligence Media. Today we are joined by our good friend, pal, Michael McKibben, with some earth-shattering, I mean really earth-shattering news that everyone on the planet needs to know about. So it's a very detailed, involved topic, but what we've done in our report is we've given you a video, an audio that you can listen to first so you know what you're going to be viewing. Then the next thing we presented is an article jam-packed with evidence. So everything that Michael and Douglas taught to you today, if you go into the article, you are going to see that information verified. Now that you've read all of this, where do we go? How do we take out the Pilgrim Society who thinks it's ruling every human life here on planet Earth? Guys, what do you say?
I say that's exactly right. And only recently with this new discovery have I personally put it in perspective. I mean, you know, I've been preaching about these pilgrims for a long time, but I never understood it. I never understood it. And now I get it. The 300 people in America and who are really British loyalists, who are Pilgrim Society members, that you have discovered and you've given all the proof with their particular interlocking directorates demonstrate that it's an insider trading group. And it demonstrates that everyone in America in the group of 300 or so, because there's like a, everyone has a conspiracy. This is truly a conspiracy that all of the world is ruled by 300 people. Well, okay. Basically we have found that to be true, but they work out of Britain and they have a shadow group of 300 committee here in America is what I would, the way I'd frame that, because basically the SES is the titled aristocracy that supports the monarchy. And I mean, literally the monarchy of Britain, because they give cover. So underneath the cover of the monarchy, you can do anything. You can control the world. So here's what I figured out. This is the question. It wasn't all these answers we have. Here's the question. They're pilgrims. Where is their pilgrimage going? Where is it to? And I'll tell you exactly where it is going. When Cecil Rhodes realized he could be more powerful than the Queen, the King of England, and basically become the King of Transvaal, the King of South Africa, he could war against entire other nations and win. The corporatocracy of the British East India Company, the Dutch East India Company, we get to see turned into this insanity with Cecil Rhodes. But why? He was taught by all these people that we've pointed out who told him that he's supposed to control the rest of the world because he's white and he's superior. And so this imperialism that Cecil Rhodes had that helped found the Pilgrim Society, the pilgrimage is clearly to hegemony, to world control. And we see it from the beginning of their plans to right this very day with the United Nations, took control of the whole world through one of their committees, the World Health Organization. This is how powerful this pilgrimage towards hegemony is. And so any pilgrim that is on that path in America knows that they're on that path, and they should be arrested. And now that you have the biggest discovery for me of all was that the Pilgrim Society in America has a foundation. So therefore, they're a 501c3, so everything they're doing is illegal. All the insider trading, all the manipulation, everything, it's all against, you can't be a not-for-profit and have a political agenda that is partisan, not only, and is also illegal, and is also insider trading, and is also enemies of America, because these are loyal British subjects. That's what I'm saying. Anyone in SES who continues to give no-bid contracts to the Brits is not an American, and we need to arrest these people. This is the treasonous sedition that we've been looking for the smoking gun for, and you have now brought it forth. Thank you so very much, and your research is amazing. Of course, it hurts the head to go through all the details. I don't know how in the world you and your workers and the miners have done all of this, but you've named the people. They're still in power, and we need to go after them, these pilgrims.
Well, we're exhausted. This research, we've probably read 10,000 pages of new research, new information, and we've got copies of stacks of documents all over the floor, and with people all around the world reading this stuff. It is sometimes tough to know where to start. But I think I always like to ask, what's the driver? And it's very evident. The driver is the Pilgrim Society. And underneath that is probably the Council on Foreign Relations. That's their next level of a feeder group. Then they've got the Rhodes Scholarship on the side, which is a primary feeder. Then there's something that we had not known about called the Schwarzman Scholars, which is also a feeder. And then we've got these East Coast private schools, which are other feeders. So they've got a lot of feeders into their ultimate group. The Pilgrims, it looks to be the top of this heap. But then they've got some associations, primarily the Ford Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, and the Carnegie Foundation, which are feeding cash to them wherever they need it, wherever they are in the world. And one of the things, Douglas, that just we forgot to put this in the article yesterday, but it's now in there, is we have about 270 pages of reports by the Rockefeller Foundation that go, financial reports that go back into the 40s, and specifically 46. And keep in mind, 46 was the end of World War II. They had gotten tired of their scam with bombing people, so they stopped it. I mean, I'm going to be real cynical here, because I've had my wife's father was a member of the 69th Infantry Division, which met up with the Russians at it's called the Big Link Up, and it broke the back of the German army from north to south. And at the little town of Torgau, and we actually linked up and broke the back of the Germans in 45. Well, this was 46. The Rockefeller Foundation is feeding cash like you wouldn't believe. And one of the things we were focused on finding was the money that they granted to the Tavistock Institute, because we had known from other reports from the Tavistock Institute that they had received a big donation funding from what they call an appropriation from the Rockefeller Foundation. But we actually have the actual Rockefeller financial report, and on page 278, Tavistock Clinic, London, England, research and teaching in the field of psychiatry. And this was under the subcategory in the financial report for medical sciences. And it was pages of fundings that they had been feeding. And this was, it was 1946, $89,000, which was a significant amount of money, one of their biggest fundings. Another one was to McGill University up in Montreal, Canada, for research in brain chemistry. Given the current discussion of the nanotube technology coming out of Harvard, this starts to take on significance. But let me just read you the number of organizations that the Rockefellers were feeding cash to, and it's astounding. I got to go back here under the social sciences category: Brookings Institution, Washington University, Yale University, Brown University, National Research Council, the New York University, the American Institute of Physics, American Mathematical Society, the American Soviet Science Society, University of Cambridge, University of Chicago, University of Copenhagen, University of Illinois, University of Leeds, University of London, University of Minnesota, University of Oxford, number of categories there, University of Pennsylvania, Cornell University, a lot of Ivy League, Duke University, Harvard, Indiana, Institute of, and then they go into donations in other parts of the world. Johns Hopkins University, MIT, Research Council of the Department of Hospitals in New York City, the National Research Council, I think I mentioned them. And then we get into public health. They funded numerous schools of nursing and medical schools. In psychiatry, American Psychiatric Association, the London County Council, the McGill University Medical Research Council. That's a very important one, because That's the funding group for the Perbright Institute, which is the owner of the patent on the coronavirus. Now we're going back here to 46. Then we've got University College London, University of Brussels, and it goes on and on. Yale, psychiatry, Columbia, Mass General, University of California, Berkeley. This list sounds like the training ground for the current communist takeover, and I'm going to just say that very plainly, of our university system. It looks to be these universities, and look how long ago they were getting cash to study brain sciences to make sure that they were very effective at what they've done.
Michael, are you saying that the takeover of America is complete and that there's nothing that we citizens can do about it?
Oh, no, I'm not saying that. I'm talking about facts here that we see. And this is what they have tried to do. But as we, since we are all products of this university system, I think we all know intuitively that that was going on. But I think God being God and human beings being quite creative, we have not allowed these people to perfect this takeover to the degree to which they wanted. But I think they have been very effective, and we see a lot of the dysfunctional aspects of what they've tried to do manifest very plainly in our news right now.
So true. Now, displace Rockefeller, Ford, Carnegie, Nobel, and Monk, and just replace them with Gates and the Clinton Foundation and the World Economic Forum, and it's the same exact.
I'll add the Wellcome Fund.
What is the driver? Here's the driver.
Wellcome Fund is number one. Gates is
absolutely.
Number two.
Sorry, Mr. Burroughs. Wellcome. We have to bow to them because they're the people who helped Cecil Rhodes in the Boer Wars kill his people with needles and infections, and probably we don't have records.
Oh yeah, we do have.
Sure, they tried everything.
We've been sent records,
but we do know
we've been sent. South Africans have sent records, anecdotal records, but they're actual diaries of people that were in those war camps, and how their children would get a sniffle, and they would take the child away, and the child would never come back.
That's where I was going with this. Is we don't know what all they did to those people. We know that they killed thousands and thousands of them. They were at war with, here you have the British East India Company land being given to Cecil Rhodes as a corporation. He goes down there and with corporate immunity, he conducts a war using the British war machine, but he gets all the benefits as a corporation. He gets the De Beers diamonds, he gets the gold, and he gets a country named after
Rhodesia. He also runs the police force. He could do whatever he wanted.
This was the training ground for what the Pilgrims, and he was a founding member, along with basically three Milner. Rothschilds.
Milner and De Worms, Lord Rosebery, and J.P. Morgan.
So when people say that there is a conspiracy of the Rothschilds to control the world, too late. It's not a conspiracy. It's a done deal. Mm-hmm. But as Betsy just asked, is it really a done deal? No, it's easy. What is the first thing we put on President Trump's list when he gets into office? Completely annihilate the United Nations. It is the Pilgrims' globalist control that has depopulation as their number one issue. They haven't ever helped anybody, and they are being controlled by the Brits. They always were. Before that, it was the League of Nations. And when you talk about Cecil Rhodes, then that became, of course, the Rhodes Roundtable, the Milner Kindergarten.
Rhodes Scholarships.
All the Rhodes Scholarships. It then became literally. Now, this is the funny thing, and this is my question for you today. Cecil Rhodes Roundtable, well, that was the imperialism of and socialism of Ruskin and the Fabians. Mm-hmm. And basically, he decided that he was going to control all those people below him. This is the mentality. And then he had the three richest people, or three of the richest people in the world. One was the richest person in the world at the time, one of the Rothschilds without a Rothschild name. And what did he do? He said, well, I'm going to basically take over the world, and how am I going to do it? And then they made a list. And of course, pharmaceuticals was on it, and war, education, scholarships, all these things. He made a list. That list they have worked on to this very day, that is their pilgrimage, is to finish the list of what the Rothschild said needed to be taken over, needed to be controlled, so that they could control the whole world. Now, these lessons that were learned in the Transvaal show us that corporate immunity is pure evil. There should be no corporate immunity. Corporations go to war. They kill people all the time. Millions of people. No one ever goes to jail because a corporation simply changes its name, goes bankrupt, changes its name. So now, this is what I want to ask. Since 1902, these dadgum pilgrims have been on a pilgrimage, and they haven't changed their name, and they've stayed secret. I knew about them, but I couldn't find a list of the pilgrims. You can't find a list of the pilgrims today. You're the only person who's been able to track this down in the past and bring it into the present. So the point is, these pilgrims need to be identified. They need to be called out. Their foundation needs to end, because the foundation was named after Wild Bill Donovan, the man who started the OSS, which was an extension of the British, basically, Secret Service, and the whole propaganda of the Empire Press Union was all distilled and given to one man who started the OSS, and he got the war booty, the German and the Japanese war booty gold. And they named the Pilgrims Foundation, or they actually ran their business, as you've pointed out, under William Donovan's name. That
is his 501c3.
Is so unbelievable.
Their nonprofit status came from Donovan.
One of the most corrupt people in human history, and everyone knows it, and he's on all the committees, but they won't let him have power. So he wasn't going to kowtow. And when you kowtow, let's remember who these pilgrims are. They're on a pilgrimage with whose blessing? The monarchy of Britain.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one of these people, whether it be Lansdale or Sarnoff or any of their wicked, wicked people who have done this evil, bowed to the Queen, and many of them became Knights of Malta, British Knights of Malta, or the Order of the British Empire, and all these different things. Why? Because the Queen thanked them. But when you get that order, you swear a vow of fealty to the Queen. Well, that is against the U.S. Constitution. You may not have a title of aristocracy. You may not swear fealty to anyone else and still be an American citizen. So anyone who is a member of a British organization, including the Pilgrims, has violated the U.S. Constitution and simply need to be arrested, interned, investigated, disgorged, and simply the Pilgrim Society needs to become the number one enemy of the entire world.
But Douglas, that's a huge, daunting task, because these people are high level. They're known in society. Taking them out would just be unbelievable. So how can we get this done in the least disruptive way possible? I mean, is there anything that we can do with these foundations that they have? Can you?
Well, yeah. First of all, we need to know who are pilgrims, who are CFR. We need to have their current list of who's in their organization, including we need to know every person that's been received any kind of honor from the Queen. So we've got the Knights of Malta, whichever priory, all priories, including the English priory, which the Queen runs, and then the Queen. We need to know all of these people and who's got the titles. And then we also need to see current lists of the Council on Foreign Relations. And then we need to see historically who had those titles. Once we have that information, I think the picture is going to get quite clear. I mean, we've got enough of it from official documents to move forward. But everybody needs to come clean, because if they're a public figure, they have a requirement to tell us who they are and what relationships could possibly be conflicting as we depend upon them to do the people's business. But that isn't happening right now at all.
Well, I have a few suggestions on that. And Betsy, you're right to ask that question, Tyler. You're absolutely right, because it seems daunting, especially since so many of us have studied this for a long time and didn't know the full ramifications, didn't know the names, didn't have any proof, didn't have the evidence, IRS evidence, evidence that has been read into the congressional records, so on and so forth. But here's what has happened. And it's all good news. I mean, I'm being very negative, but now I'm going to be very positive, because here's the reality. The remnants of the Pilgrim Society in America most especially comes to focus on the Council on Foreign Relations. Well, what has happened? The Council on Foreign Relations, since its inception, which is simply a copy of Cecil Rhodes Roundtable, which then became the Royal Institute for International Affairs, and then became the Chatham House, and then they merged in Tavistock and all the war stuff and all the Empire Press stuff, and then it became pure evil, and then it came across the ocean and was created as the Council on Foreign Relations. Basically, it has given every president the foreign policy that it has followed during their entire term. I don't know a president that hasn't followed the CFR, period. Now, what has Trump done? He's ignored them completely. They don't even exist anymore. They have no power because the White House doesn't listen to them. Now, yes, the different committees in the Senate and the House may listen to them, and they still do white papers and they still have stupid meetings. But basically, Kissinger put all the eggs in the basket of China, which is Britain, by the way, as Michael always points out. So he said, sorry, America, you're dead. You are no longer a superpower. You're like 10th on the list. China's the superpower. We're going with them and their fake gold-backed yuan. That was the big move. Trump ignored it all. Remember, he met with Kissinger as one of the first people he met when he became president. Don't forget that.
Right.
And he met with him again, and he made sure everybody, and no one knew that one, and he basically told him to go to hell. I'm not buying into your China nonsense. And the third time he met him, he completely snubbed him and didn't even speak to him while he was in the Oval Office with some other people. And it was supposed to be the big thing where Kissinger and remember, Steve Bannon had come out and said, America's dead. We're all moving to China. And this was the CFR. This was the British move. Now, what I want to point out is that what I call the rogue CIA here in America, or the originally it was the OSS in Britain, or I call it also, of course, the intelligence group of the Privy Council and so on and so forth. Those people have sold out Britain. The Britons, the British, and the United Kingdom and its Commonwealth nations are no longer free. They use the same exact systems that China uses for controlling their people through totalitarianism. So one can say that if we look at Britain and Brexit and their relationship with the European Union and what that was all about, which we're not going to go into today, but we could because it's absolutely germane to what we're talking about. But the point is Brexit all hinges on what? Trump saying, sorry, you're in bed with China. Five Eyes gets all of our intelligence through you because you use Huawei and you use ZTE and all these Chinese companies, and you're basically becoming nothing more than a vassal of the Communist Chinese Party. And so I'm ignoring you. So right now, Trump, by ignoring the CFR, by ignoring Britain, by not giving them a deal, not helping them with Brexit, and letting them literally show the world what democratic socialism becomes, which is totalitarian communism, real quick, like in a matter of a few years, you get to see Britain have absolutely zero free speech, zero freedom. They come in and they take their children. They come, they kill the old people because they put them on a list and they don't get to them in their national health group. So they kill people. They have literally death panels in Britain. So all the horrible things that are being predicted to happen if socialism comes to America, look at Britain, it's already happened. And in America, we have the same donor drive with Soros creating chaos Marxism / democratic socialism, whatever you want to call it. It's the same thing that we're seeing happen in Venezuela, any place where they tout the same nonsense that was the foundation of the Pilgrim Society, socialism. Crazy.
Can I interrupt for a minute? One of the things that the record is showing is that their entire focus after the war with the Marshall Plan was to empower the UN. So it looks like the UN was to be the new British Empire that would be run by the British, but wouldn't have the name British Empire in it, but that the Pilgrims were going to run it. Nothing I've seen contradicts that. So that appears to be what they're all putting their energy and their bets on.
Actually, we presented a video, a very good video, that shows just that, that the British Imperial Empire, when it knew it was dying, kind of infiltrated America through the Crown Agent, Senior Executive Service, all these different, the Council on Foreign Relations, et cetera, even to the point of putting up a physical location that we know as the UN, but which really is the British Imperial Empire, the Pilgrim Society, under a name that we can say, okay, well, it's the United Nations, but that's not what it is. And folks, we really need to understand that we taxpayers, American taxpayers, are funding the United Nations, which is an organization out to destroy humanity. So the American taxpayer is funding an activity that will adversely affect every human being on the planet. We absolutely must destroy the UN building and every vestige of this operation.
Amen, Betsy. Oh, sorry.
Go for it.
Well, it's true. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of these Congress people walking around with their little pussy mask on in Congress, beholden to Nancy Pelosi, their plantation master. They need to stand up, take off the damn mask, and point out the enemy. I mean, I see Matt Gaetz in there saying, well, this and that. Well, Matt, he used to be good, but now he's just kind of sunk down to the lowest denominator, where all they are doing in Congress is just yapping at each other while these people in the Pilgrim Society are running Fauci and Gaetz out on us all to first put on the mask, because that's compliance. Then the next thing, that's bag and tag. That's what it's called in genocide. It's the first step towards genocide. Then the next thing is that they will vaccinate and microchip you, and you're just going to, the exterminations are going on already. It's just not with the Uyghur people. When you look at the amount of homeless people in America and where they go when those camps are clean, people, wake up, because if we do not stop this, it is a psychological operation. And it requires the very strong among us, the patriots who know what's going on, to stand up against it, walk out in public without your mask, and call it what it is. But there are other things we can do. What can we do with this Pilgrim Foundation, this nonprofit foundation that's parked itself here?
Well, I think they're open to assault from the IRS, the SEC, the FTC, and every other federal agency that I can think of, because they're insider traders, they're committing crimes, they're actually treasonous. They are lying, they're in their position and using it for egregious, horrifying abuse, if not illegal activity. I love it that Barr makes a distinction between, grotesque misuse of their authority and a crime. Ooh, that's the same thing that's happening in Washington, D.C., and Betsy has the sentiment exactly right. Here's the deal. Washington, D.C., the idiot mayor, the Black Lives Matter supporting mayor, says a child of four outside has to have a mask on or it's a $1,000 fine. I have $500 or $1,000, I can't remember. But there's one exception. Any politician on Capitol Hill, anyone in the Beltway, they don't have to wear a mask. But you got Pelosi demanding that everyone in the House wear a mask because she always takes her mask off when she talks. So how is she promoting? It's insanity.
Because
it's the same propaganda the British have used all along.
It's a psychological operation. And as long as we buy into it, they're going to keep marching on. And the next thing are the forced vaccinations. Now, Michael has done, and his team has done, an amazing job pulling up the massive amounts of evidence. I mean, we can't even begin to talk about that here. Here we can just talk about these as, overview and a platitudes of what should be happening. But we hope that intelligence people around the world are going to do a deep dive in this and protect your country from these evil oligarchs.
Yeah, I think that's our objective. First, we got to figure out what the problem was. And it's typical engineering. When you're solving a problem, first define it right. Because if you don't define it right, then any fix is useless or broken. So getting these foundational facts, I find extremely enlightening because now things start to make sense, whereas they never made sense before. What I see in the media among, I would say, conservative people is there is this disbelief that people would be so crazy. They call them crazy, nutty, loony. But if you know how they, the thinking behind what they're doing, there's nothing that's not calculated in what they're doing. It just looks that way to normal, moral people. But in fact, it has its method and its intent. So I think that's the first thing, is to realize what we're looking at. I'll ask you yesterday, because I'd heard about Herman Cain. Does any thinking person believe that he really died of COVID?
Well, everybody dies of COVID now. So, of course, he died of COVID. I mean, an infant was shot in Chicago, and I don't know if it's male or female, died of coronavirus. So everything is coronavirus. And then what's happening to flu statistics, Douglas?
Well, we've gone into this before. First off, the CDC's testing kits. Now, remember, there's four types of test, and almost no one gets the fourth type. So almost all the statistics are wrong. But the CDC, its first batch, which was, I forget how many, millions of tests they sent out, people sent them back in without testing anybody, and the test and the results were that they were positive. But they had never tested anything with them. They simply took it, sent it back, and it was positive. Then the CDC, later, when the people started looking at that batch, they said, oh my gosh, every swab has coronavirus 19 on it. And they went, oh, it was an accident. Mm-hmm. In other words, if you get the test, you get the virus. Of course, it's going to be positive if it came from the CDC. And what did they try to do? Because Bill Gates gave hundreds of millions of dollars to the CDC, to Mr. Redfield, they made sure that they didn't allow the foreign test kits to come in, and they kept using their stupid CDC tests and the CRISPR tests, which the inventor of at least two of the tests say they can't be used to determine this. And mine, let me make this perfectly clear. If you go get coronavirus test, I'll bet you right now, I'll bet all the money I have, all 15 cents, that if you have had the flu, a cold, or a flu vaccination shot in the last 5 years, I'll bet all 15 cents, all three nickels, that you're going to come up positive, because that's the way that it works. You have the antibodies in you to fight any coronavirus, and every cold and every flu is a coronavirus.
Yeah.
And those are wooden nickels, right?
And they probably would check them. They could be wooden. <That's right. laughs> I didn't check them. They could be. They're my last three, so I was kind of trying to hang on to them. But, you know, this is the flu virus.
Are you saying that what they have done is a brilliant propaganda mechanism to weaponize the common flu? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, but it's a man-made flu that has all of the flus in it, as well as Ebola, HIV, and every other infectious disease is inside of coronavirus, or SARS coronavirus V2, okay? Or what they're calling COVID-19. That is a man-made virus. Just look at the pictures of Obama standing next to Fauci, standing next to crazy Batwoman who invented the fake virus. We all know this. It's in all of the medical journals. You can read about it back to 2000. I've been reading about it since 2000. And a couple of years ago, she said she had made a man-made virus that you can imprint any other virus onto that DNA, and it is synthetic. This is the virus we're probably dealing with, or a copy of that. But anyway, Fauci and Obama and Crazy Batwoman standing in the Wuhan P4 lab, supported by Bill Gates and, of course, the Clinton Foundation and of course, a Wellcome Trust. This is worse than a conspiracy to depopulate the world. This is an effective war, and we're in the midst of it. And the war is being won by fear and terror. Same thing they used in World War I and II against the Germans. Same thing they used in the Transvaal against those evil Boers. Same thing they use when the Vietnamese became, oh, they were evil, and the false flag that got us into that war. And you actually know the very person, you've done so much research on the person who got us into all these last wars. So this isn't history, folks. The gold and silver manipulation going on since the end of World War I is still going on now. And you can we attached a whole bunch of articles, URL links, so that you can see that that we're not talking off the top of our head. Not only has Michael found the proof, but I have pulled together these URLs that show that the lawsuits brought against Bank of America and J.P. Morgan is exactly as we say, and that it was in a, they allowed it to be silver manipulation. But the big deal is gold, and William Donovan what found, as they say, as much gold in the German and Japanese gold as all of the rest of the gold in all the reserves in the world. Now, let's remember, the British, after World War II, went down to zero gold. So did France, so did Spain, because why? It was all stolen, but the British spent it on war. Well, then how did the Rothschild-owned bullion bank have all that gold in it now? Where did it come from? Can anyone show us the records where the Rothschild bought that gold? And remember, that was the gold that they built the British fiat currency on, paper currency, through the Bank of England that no one can ask a question about because it's the Queen's bank and it's the Queen's business and they control the currency of Britain with this gold. Where did they get it? Well, here's the deal. The Rothschilds, as we have said, have been funding both sides from the beginning. And they, with the League of Nations, which we didn't join, America didn't join, and they tried, and that was a British manipulation for world control, the first attempt. Then they got us through propaganda to join the United Nations. And then they got us through Bretton Woods before the war was over in 1944 to agree upon a gold-backed IMF standard. Okay? Why? Why would the Brits demand to have a gold-backed standard when they didn't have any gold left? Anybody ever think about any of this? It's so clear when you actually, as you say, stand back enough and see the foundational elements and you go, oh, only an idiot wouldn't see the truth here. So Cecil Rhodes, his spirit still lives on with those Rhodes scholars and all the things that you brought forward of how it's been manipulated. But Cecil Rhodes controlled diamonds and gold, which also means silver, back then, and the Pilgrim Society controlled it back then, and they control it right now.
Correct. So that so what we're saying is the whole setup and execution of World War II was nothing but a power grab for all the wealth of the world. And in 42, Roosevelt stole all of the patents from the Axis world. And then in 46, they had collected all of the gold and silver in two of the greatest empires in the world, meaning the Germans and the Japanese, and all of their booty. So they collected it all at the International Bank of Settlements in Switzerland, at the where Dulles happened to be the OSS station chief. And sent, the other humorous thing about this report in 97 is that they said that Dulles was short of staff and short of resources, and they had a lot of things to do. So it was really difficult for them to manage this effort to transfer the gold. And so they did a lot of it from the strength of their personalities. And that's the way the guy used the word personalities. I mean, how does a personality do work?
If Bill Donovan says he only has 53 tons, it's only 53 tons. Don't imagine he's got 500 tons.
Yeah. So what
the personality he was counting on.
The interesting thing is I've never focused on the gold story. You've talked a lot about it, but it's never come onto the radar screen directly. But now it has, because we can see that this group of people that was consolidating all that gold all jumped on the Marshall Plan committee. Either they were the executive committee of 19 or they were on the council. And all of our media, key media people like Sarnoff joined on, RCA, IBM, Westinghouse, Owens Corning, Standard Oil. They all joined the Marshall Plan because, according to Stimson in his little article, 11-page article of Foreign Affairs magazine, they all had this tremendous heartfelt desire to help the Europeans rebuild.
Oh, it's, it just warms the cockles of my heart.
Oh my gosh. When you realize how ruthless these people are, reading those words is just a joke. But they also must have really despised the average American for being so stupid as to believe them. They must sit and just laugh their heads off when they're smoking their cigars and drinking their brandy.
Yeah, because let's just spell it out the way that it is. After World War I, it was the Dawes was in charge almost completely. And then the Dawes plan said Germany had to pay back all that money. What was that? That was so the Bank for International Settlements could be used as a way to fleece Europe. Absolutely steal all the resources, money manipulation, currency manipulation. And then when Marshall Plan came along, it was like on steroids. They knew exactly what to do, how to institutionalize it. And when they said, we need a cabal, we need a syndicate, a mafia of corporations to help us fleece Europe, the 300 step forward that you gave the list of, they're still around. There's still many of them in huge power control positions. And what did they do? They went right on over there and said they gave money. Oh, philanthropically, that was we the people's tax money. They gave that money so that they could get 100 times that back. And then they created all kinds of dummy companies, false companies. The gold shifted over to Britain. It shifted to, the Savoy line in Switzerland. I'm not going to get into that. But people always get mad at me that I don't mention the Illuminati and the Savoy and all this stuff. But it's right there. We mentioned it. It's the bankers. So the bankers took complete control of Europe. And to this very day, the Bank for International Settlement now controls all banks in the world, all central banks, and controls all derivatives. Derivatives get paid off first before anything else. The Bank for International Settlement effectively controls the entire global economy. And to think that any of us have a free market is complete nonsense, because if the pilgrims are all insider traders, there's no free market.
No. They're taking the cream off the top all the time because they have the ultimate position.
So, Betsy, what did you do after you read the article about these nasty pilgrims?
I reflected back when I was studying European economics over at the University of Manchester in graduate school. And one of the first experiences I had over there as a young American who had never visited Europe before was an elderly gentleman, professor, who told me that everything that I had learned in the United States about our history was bunk. And he proceeded to tell me what the truth was. Well, I didn't believe him, because we have great public schools in America, and there would be no reason why history would lie to me in this way. But it always was in the back of my mind that there are other people in the world that think Americans are foolish in believing the history that we read in our textbooks. Well, here we are many, many years later, and that's what you're showing me. Your miners have showed me that the history that we learned in the American public school indoctrination centers was pure bunk. And in fact, the library books that came from the Carnegie Library, many of them are bunk. We have been fed a lifetime of lies. This is a very difficult thing to have to wake up to and to start studying history over again and finding out what's the real truth.
Absolutely.
So true. But what did you do immediately?
Immediately when?
You sent a letter.
Well, I did. And I encourage everybody to do it. In the article, there is an address, an email address for the Pilgrim Society. It's SEC, pilgrimssociety.org. And that's just one S, even though it's Pilgrim Society in the email, it's just one. You can grab that out of the article. And I sent a copy of the article and said, hey, dudes, what's up? What are you guys doing ruling the world this way? Us in the ground, we're like pissed. And I want everybody to do it. Everybody that sees this article, send them an email. Put them on notice, these high and mighty who think they're above the rest of humanity. Put them on notice that we know who they are. And we're from all over the world. This network we have in the American intelligence media and AFI is worldwide. Now, for the American Pilgrims Foundation, we don't have an email yet, but we do have an address and they have a website. But let's bombard them. We cannot wait.
By the way, they don't have a website. That links to England.
Oh, okay. But
the British manage the American website.
We cannot wait for Congress to get to it. All they want to do is blah, blah, blah talk. We've seen it historically now that the purpose of Congress is to have the lobbyists write the laws over there on K Street, hand it to them along with a big wad of cash, and have them do their little kabuki theater. I mean, when I'm listening to Jim Jordan, and I like Jim Jordan, and Michael, he is a representative in Ohio, but I am very upset that Jim Jordan has received your information on the leader situation. And have you gotten a call from them? Is anybody? No, you haven't. You haven't gotten a call from Jim Jordan or anybody. But Jim gave a great presentation the other day in Congress. It was very exciting to listen to him. But then I remember Trey Gowdy also did the same thing. And then when I look back in history that you presented to us, Michael, I see that any number of Congress people do this, but then it gets shoved up under some papers. They make sure that the links are broken so you can never go back to it. So it's all theater. I'm tired of waiting for Congress and people of the world. You need to be sick and tired of it too. Grab that email and slam these people in the Pilgrim Society. Let them know that we put on our pants the same way they do.
Yeah, the brilliance of the concept of the American government was it was going to be empowered from the people. What we have now is not that. We have a system that's a professional government, and then we have the people. And I think that that's what's got to happen. The strength in numbers is what we the people, have to rely on in order to bring these government employees to heel. And they are a dog, and we need to tell them to heel. And that hasn't happened. Right now, we're pretending we're the dogs, wearing the masks and following orders and not rocking the boat and never asking good questions and being afraid to really confront dysfunction. But, I used to do a lot of training in corporations and had a specialty in dysfunctional. Normally people don't hire consultants unless they can't fix something. And so I usually get called into dysfunctional situations. We had one situation where it was a credit union and it was actually an association. And they had a very bad management problem and communications problem. So when we finally got down to figuring out what it was, they were all making decisions based on how a person who was an alcoholic, their former CEO, would have responded to them. And I said, well, how long has he been gone? And they said 5 years. And so here the guy had been gone for 5 years and they were still behaving as if he was upstairs. That's how dysfunction ends up manifesting itself in an organization. And so things just get odd in the way people act because it's not logical. And that's what I see we have on a macro scale in our government. We've got all of this dysfunction based on a crumbled foundation that is attempting to do the opposite of what the American Republic was designed to do. And we then have certain expectations based on that. They have a whole different set of expectations because they know they're trying to undermine it, but kind of pretending they're not, but they really are. And so we've got all this bizarre behavior that makes people crazy. And when you actually see what's going on, it makes sense. And that's the way we've got to get to, Douglas. And when Betsy asked, what do? I think we have to really define the problem and accept the facts the way they are and quit squirreling around with dancing around them and hiding them and not mentioning them and not confronting them. That's what we have to do. Everyone that's a citizen of this country has to confront this dysfunction and no longer accommodate it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I liked your analogy of, we're dogs or we're pets to them. Well, here's the deal. You don't feed the pet will eat you. The pet will bite you. And we need to turn on the master. And they give us bread and circus. Okay. Here in America, we're good consumers. They'll even give us money. like they're doing now. As long as what? As long as we pay attention to the circus, the entertainment, and that, you know, you enjoy bloodlust. I mean, that's really what we're watching in entertainment, is you're actually really wishing that those stars fall from the sky. Who's happier than when you see a Hollywood star fall into disgrace? Because they're not a star. They don't really go up in the heavens. Now, here's the deal. The NGOs are controlled by the pilgrims, like George Soros. Soros has 184 separate non-government organizations that create influence. And he ends up basically making money off of the chaos that comes from that. And he's done it in 14 countries with 14 color revolutions. He's doing it here now. And he's using the British way. And what's the British way? To do it in committee. So we have 184 NGOs and all the ones that the pilgrims support. And we have, you know, these groups like the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and open groups that are doing absolute theft. For instance, Act Blue. When you donate to Black Lives Matter, it goes to the Democratic National Committee. Just look it up, folks. It's called Act, A-C-T, Blue. Donate to Black Lives. So Black Lives Matter is an extension of the Democrat Party, the Demon Rats. Okay, then that makes everything that they do partisan. But wait, they receive foundational money from George Soros and everyone. They have to be closed. We have to close all these things that use the British way. And the British way is called do it by secret committee and use the Chatham House rules. You may not say who said it. You may not write anything down. There is no agenda. This is all insider trading information. You basically sworn to secrecy. You can't tell anybody who's on the committee, and you go out and you do the dirty work that the committee tells you what to do. Well, that's exactly what the pilgrims have been doing since 1902. Now, yeah. My big question, I never get to it here because I keep drifting off. You have always pointed out, like with Cambridge Analytica, oh, when it was closed down, everybody said, okay, that problem's over. No, its mother company, Strategic Communication Laboratory, continued to do it and had been for a long time under other auspices, other names. We named everybody involved and they closed. We went after Serco and they all of a sudden got an $86 billion lawsuit brought against them, and they may in fact simply have to go to their new company. Now, when a British company gets founded, they always have two or three other associate companies that they can move to that have different names that you'll never be able to track, so they can move the assets and move the people and blah, blah, and do the little Chatham House thing. Okay, now, the Pilgrim Society hasn't had to do that in all these years. They're the only group
I
know.
That's because all they do is get together for an annual banquet, Douglas, and then they give themselves awards. That's all they do.
Until you pointed out that they're a foundation, I always thought that was all they did. Now that they're a foundation, they can all go to jail for what they do.
Well, that's a good point. And that's proof we have now. That's the way they operated up till 2002. And then a few years later, Henry Kissinger and Volcker came on as officers in the U.S. Pilgrims. So that was a revelation. I had always thought Kissinger was Pilgrims, but never actually saw him on any kind of official list. But now we have him on a list on an IRS form.
It's very, very, very clear to me that the president needs to determine not only Antifa is a domestic terrorist group and that Black Lives Matter is a Democrat supported domestic terrorist group, but that the Pilgrim Society, yes, are enemies of the state. They are terrorists and they all need to be attacked like we would attack a terrorist, because their slow incremental attack on us does not mean that their British proper polite way isn't still killing millions of people.
You may not be aware of it. Just today, I found that Ben Garrison, that fantastic cartoonist who always seems to get the political edge just right in picture form, he is suing the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, for $10 million because he drew a cartoon. And the cartoon is actually historically accurate. What it shows is the Rothschild hand holding a puppet string with George Soros at the end. And then George Soros has two of our United States generals at the other end.
And by the way, the ADL was in the Marshall Plan.
Well, of course, because what the ADL has to do is to make sure that all discussion shuts down if it goes back to anyone who happens to be or not be Jewish. But if they're Jewish and you point them out, even without saying that they're Jewish, that you get called out. So what Ben has happened to Ben is he's been his revenue stream essentially has been cut because the ADL in its actions has said that he is an anti-Semite. So he's going to fight it. We're going to be right behind him because this cartoon is very accurate. What we are showing you is we don't care if the Rothschilds are Muslim, Christian, Jewish, or alien invaders. These people are rotten to the core. They've run our financial system of the planet for two millennia, at least, if not more, if you go back to the Venetian bankers and all that. And the people of the world, we're just tired of it. We're tired of the endless wars. We're tired of poverty. We're tired of all the blah, blah talk about it. And we're ready to get things done. So citizens, it's on us now. We've got to get this done. The Rothschilds are the enemy of the people of this planet.
And the name in the U.S., names in the U.S. are the Rockefellers and J.P. Morgan Chase.
But it's still all rolled up to the Rothschilds.
Exactly.
And when you say Rothschild, you also have to say Lord Purbright and Lord Rosebery and all the other people who used the Rothschild money because they were married to Rothschilds or they inherited the Rothschild money. So, you know, it isn't a conspiracy to say that Nathan Mayer Rothschild helped found the Pilgrim Society in 1980.
Oh, no, he was a co-founder. We know that.
You can't get away from that, folks. So call it what you want. Now, Purbright and Rosebery, they weren't very Jewish. As a matter of fact, I think they got in trouble for not being Jewish enough. And they didn't use the Rothschild name. Doesn't mean a thing. It's still there. The Rothschild money, ill-gotten from warmongering. We have to support these people who tell the truth. And yes, the Anti-Defamation League is one of the most powerful groups in America. And it's used sometimes for good and it's used sometimes for bad. In this particular case, when you tell history and the truth and it doesn't agree with the Carnegie Library books and it doesn't agree with the Rockefeller propaganda and it doesn't agree with what you were taught in school by your left-wing progressive chaos Marxist teachers, well, sorry, we still have to bring things to light so that the disinfecting sunlight can get rid of this disgusting mold. And remember, this is a mold that grows off of the death of others. All we have to do is separate them from us and not let them any longer use us as their pets and as their vassals.